Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to do a very jungle-specific, very effective trick in Ableton Live 12, sequencing kick weight using macros. Not sequencing the MIDI pattern, the pattern can stay exactly the same. We're going to sequence the feeling of weight over time by morphing the kick's tone, punch, tail, drive, glue, and a touch of room. Because in rolling drum and bass, the kick isn't just a kick. It's momentum. It's space management. It decides whether the amen feels like it's sprinting or tripping over itself, and whether the bass feels huge or just crowded. So the goal is simple. Heavy where it counts, lighter where the groove needs air. And we're going to build that as a playable instrument you can automate like a performance. Let's set the context first. Set your tempo to somewhere in that classic DNB pocket, 170 to 176 BPM. I'm going to sit at 174. Now build a quick skeleton. A kick pattern that's not overdone. An amen or chopped break on another track, and a simple sub bass, even just a sine wave holding notes. We want all three playing while we build this. Because a kick that sounds incredible solo can be completely wrong when the break and sub arrive. Next, pick a kick that's already decent. You can absolutely layer later, but for this lesson, start with one good sample. Drop it into simpler, one-shot mode. Turn warp off for one-shots. Set voices to one so it doesn't overlap. And if the transient feels late or floppy, nudge the start a tiny bit to tighten it. Now we build the kick weight rack. On your kick track, add devices in this order: EQ8, drum bus, saturator, glue compressor, gate if you want tail control, and hybrid reverb for a tiny bit of air. Then group them into an audio effect rack. This rack is going to give you 8 macro controls that behave like kick weight scenes. And here's the mindset shift I want you to take on. Don't think one macro curve that constantly changes. Think a few repeatable states that you snap or ramp between. Like ghost, roll, anchor, pre-fill push, drop stamp. That's how jungle phrasing feels intentional. Alright. Let's map the macros. Macro 1 is weight, your sub tilt. Go to EQ 8. On band 1, enable a low shelf. Set the frequency around 60 Hz, somewhere in the 55 to 70 range depending on the kick. 2 around 0.7. Map the shelf gain from about -2 dB up to +4 dB. This is not make it louder. This is how much low-end mass do we allow in this moment. Macro 2 is punch. The low-mid knock. Still in EQ 8. Use a bell. Band 3 is fine. Set it around 150 Hz. Give or take, maybe 120 to 200 depending on the kick. Q around 1.2. Map gain from 0 up to about +3.5 dB. This is the part that often makes a jungle kick read as big under breaks, because the break has so much mid information that pure sub can disappear in the perception. Punch is weight you can hear. Macro 3 is click or beater. In EQ 8 again, a bell around 3.2 kHz, anywhere from 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. Q around 1.5. Map gain from -2 dB to +3 dB. This is your cut through the amen edits control. But a warning, if you crank click in a busy break section, you can make the whole drum top feel brittle. Sometimes you want more punch instead of more click. Macro 4 is tightness, tail control. You can do this two ways. If you want it clean and functional, use the gate. Map the gate threshold from about -30 dB up to -12 dB. Keep return around 150 milliseconds. Hold around 5 to 15 milliseconds. As you raise tightness, the tail gets chopped sooner, and the kick becomes more rolling friendly. Alternatively, a more musical method is drum bus transients. Map transients from about -10 up to +15. Just be careful. Too much transient shaping can make the kick thin and tiqui, and you lose the jungle stump. Macro 5 is drive, harmonics. Go to saturator. Use analog clip if you want it aggressive, soft sine if you want it smoother. Turn soft clip on. Map drive from 0 dB up to about +7 dB. Drive is your secret weapon for translation. It makes the kick read on small speakers without relying on deep sub. And here's a pro teacher move. Calibrate this macro at matched loudness. Put a utility at the very end of the rack. Now map utility gain to the same drive macro, but invert it slightly. So when drive goes up, utility gain comes down like 1 to 2 dB across the range. This stops you from mistaking louder for heavier. You'll actually judge weight by tone and shape, which is what we want. Macro 6 is glue, density and control. On glue compressor, attack around 10 ms, release auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio 4 to 1. Map the threshold, so that across the macro range you're getting roughly 0 to 4 dB of gain reduction. The point is, when your weight and drive moments hit, they don't spike your kick into the limiter. Glue makes the kick feel finished, and it keeps automation musical. Macro 7 is boom versus thump. In drum bus, map boom amount from 0 up to about 35%. Set boom frequency somewhere around 45 to 60 Hz, ideally near the kick's fundamental. You can leave that unmapped for stability. Use damp around 20 to 40%. This is controlled club bloom, and it is extremely easy to overdo. Here's your one rule to keep the low end stable. Only one macro should be responsible for true sub energy in any section. If macro 1 weight is doing the sub work, keep boom mostly parked. If boom is the special effect moment, keep weight closer to neutral. Don't stack both as your main weight tools, because you'll get loud, undefined low end that collapses under limiting. Macro 8 is air micro room, hybrid reverb, set to room or ambience. Decay around 0.25 to 0.6 seconds, pre-delay 0 to 10 milliseconds. Low cut the reverb, like 200 to 400 Hz, sometimes even higher if your break is busy. Map dry slash wet from 0 up to 10%. This is not reverb on the kick. This is a tiny halo that helps atmosphere sections feel alive. And if the reverb starts smearing the click, darken it as it gets wetter. Use hybrid reverbs EQ, cut more low mids, maybe even dip 2 to 4K Hz to touch, so air doesn't turn into splash. Cool. Before we sequence anything, we do a gain staging checkpoint. Put a meter after the rack, or just watch the track meter. Aim for peaks around minus 6 to minus 3 dBFS on the kick track before you hit the drum bus. Now sweep your macros a bit. If drive goes up and the output jumps wildly, fix it now with saturator output or that utility compensation. If glue makeup is doing weird things, set it by ear so you don't mistake volume jumps for weight automation. Now the main move, sequencing kick weight. We're going to do it the jungle way, phrasing. Think in 8s and 16s. Go to arrangement view. Show automation lanes. Choose your kick track, then the rack, then macro 1 weight. Try this classic shape, bars 1 through 8. Intro roll. Keep weight around 20 to 40%. Let the break and atmos establish identity. You can even let a little air in here, like 5 to 8%, and keep tightness fairly tight so the kick doesn't cloud the groove. Bars 9 through 16. Main section. Now we bring the anchor. On the downbeats, especially beat 1, push weight up to around 60 to 80%. Between those anchors, pull it back a bit so the groove breathes. That's the key. You're not just making the whole section heavier, you're creating contrast inside the bar. Then, end of phrase tension. In the last half bar or last bar of a phrase, ramp drive and punch up slightly. Not necessarily more sub, more attitude. This is the pre-fill push. It tells the listener something's about to happen, without you changing the drum pattern. Then, when the phrase resets, snap back. That snap is important. Jungle loves a reset. It's like the drums took a breath and hit the floor again. Now let's make it feel sequenced, like different kicks, but still one kick. Instead of a single smooth curve, create a few target states. Ghost mode, lower weight, low drive, tight tail. Maybe a little click so it's audible but not boomy. Roll mode, balanced weight and punch, moderate glue, tight enough tail to stay fast. Anchor mode, heavier weight on the one. Punch up a bit. Drive moderate, air mostly off so it hits solid. Drop stamp, not necessarily maximum sub, but maximum authority. Often that means more punch and drive, controlled sub, and strong glue. At 174 BPM, automation resolution matters. If you draw tiny wiggly zigzags, you can get weird stepping or clicks. Use clear square steps when you want ghost versus anchor, and if you want movement, use very fast ramps, like 10 to 30 milliseconds, so the transition feels physical but doesn't click. Now, if you want more of a loop-based, repeatable sequencing feel, do it with clip envelopes. Stay on the kick MIDI clip itself. Open envelopes, select your rack macro, and draw stepped shapes per hit. A super usable tube bar idea is, for the downbeat kick, set weight around 80%, drive around 40%, tightness medium. For a ghost kick, weight around 35%, drive around 10%, tightness tight. For an end of phrase kick, weight around 90%, punch up around 70%, and keep air at zero so the hit stays clean. This creates an illusion of layered kick performances without adding any extra samples. Now we tie it into the jungle ecosystem, breaks and bass. If your break is busy and crunchy, sometimes less click is more. Pull macro 3 down slightly and rely on punch instead, so the kick feels big but doesn't fight the break's top end. If your sub bass is long and sustained, Keep boom conservative. Use drive for presence instead. Drive adds harmonics that help definition without inflating the deepest low end. And don't forget the relationship tool that makes all of this feel cleaner, sidechain. On the bass track, add a compressor sidechained from the kick. Ratio around 4 to 1. Attack 5 to 15 ms. Release 60 to 120 ms, and aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. Now, when you hit anchor mode, the kick feels heavier without you having to EQ boost sub into a fight. A couple common mistakes to avoid as you play with this. 1. Stacking sub boost and boom at the same time. Weight plus boom plus a limiter equals undefined low end. Pick one macro to be the sub authority in a section. 2. Over transient shaping. If tightness turns into all click, no body, the kick loses the stomp that makes jungle feel physical. 3. Tweaking in solo. Don't always adjust while the break and bass are playing. 4. Reverb creep. Even 10% wet can be too much if you didn't low cut the reverb. Kick reverb should be short, dark, and intentional. Now a quick 15-minute practice of this becomes a real skill. Make a 16-bar loop at 174 with kick, amen, and a sub note. Build your rack, map the macros, then automate like this. Bars 1 to 8, weight 30 to 50, air 5 to 8, tightness tight, bars 9 to 12, weight 60 to 75, air down to 0 to 3, bars 13 to 16, ramp drive and punch for tension, then practice snapping back at bar 17 even if your loop ends. Just practice the gesture, then bounce it, and do the reality check. On headphones, does the low end stay controlled when anchor hits? On a phone speaker, does the kick identity remain when the sub disappears? If not, you need more punch or drive, not more weight.